In Iowa, I lived in a place called Hawkeye Court. I was a PhD student at the University of Iowa, and I was living in graduate student family housing, and we had neighbors from all over the world. I remember in 1994, it was Brazil who won the World Cup, and we had a Brazilian neighbor from across the courtyard, and I remember him racing around Hawkeye Court, carrying his Brazilian flag, hooting and hollering and cheering on his team. I also remember the Brazilian family because they had a beautiful little daughter. She was a tiny little girl, about 5 years old, and she had a long name. She was called Annalisa. I asked my wife if she remembered Annalisa, and she said, yeah, I remember Annalisa because she was always playing in the courtyard, and her mom would come out and yell out to her, Annalisa, Annalisa, come home. And our kids at that time were about the same age as Annalisa. I remember one afternoon I was watching Annalisa and she was playing in our courtyard. And she was running in a pattern, kind of like in a square around the courtyard as she was playing. And then unexpectedly, from nowhere, a bright bolt of lightning came through the sky. And then following that, a deafening clap of thunder, and little Annalisa was terrified. Maybe today we feel a little bit like Annalisa, or maybe we feel a little bit like this turtle. We feel vulnerable. We feel terrified. Today is Palm Sunday. To remind us, Palm Sunday is the Christian celebration that falls one Sunday before Easter. We commemorate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. He had predicted his death. He had set his face toward Jerusalem, and as he approached Jerusalem, the crowds welcomed him. They prepared palm branches to welcome him as king. They believed he was the Messiah. They hoped he would lead them to freedom from Rome. He entered the city riding a donkey. The people laid their cloaks and small branches in front of him, and they sang out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Although they are cheering for him, Jesus knows. He knows the purpose for him coming to Jerusalem. He will die. No, he will be killed. Actually, he will be brutalized and humiliated on a cross. In our passage today, Jesus is preparing his disciples. He has warned them, in just a week or so, their world will be turned upside down. Jesus, their friend, their leader, he will be dead. It's like a diagnosis of advanced stage cancer. You only have 1 week to live. And worse, they will all desert him. And Peter will deny him 3 times. What does Jesus say to them in this context? If you are able, please stand and let us read the passage, John 14, verses 1 through 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You may be seated. Let us pray together. Lord, we pray that your message this morning would speak to our hearts at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are today looking at John. We are looking at John chapter 14, and we are continuing our series on Jesus Said, I Am. And we have two more statements to go. On Good Friday, we will look at Jesus where he says, I am the good shepherd. And he knows us by name, and the Jesus, the good shepherd who knows us by name, will lay down his life for the sheep. And then on Easter Sunday, a week from today, next Sunday, we will look at the final of the I Am statements. We will look at the statement, I am the resurrection and the life. But today, we continue our series looking at John 14:6, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, it is in these statements that Jesus is saying who he is. John, in the Gospel of John, wants us to know who is Jesus. And here he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Our message today is simple, three parts. There's a key. What's the key for a believer? It's to believe in Jesus. There's a house. Jesus is preparing a place for us in heaven, a better place to be. The key to the house is to go through Jesus. Look at Jesus. That's what our passage will tell us. So let us go ahead and get started in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In the midst of hard times, Jesus speaks comfort. The word here for troubled is the same word that occurs a few verses earlier in John chapter 13. He's sitting at the Last Supper, and he says, after he said this, it says, Jesus was troubled in spirit, and he testified, very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. He's at the Last Supper. He predicts that Judas will betray him, and his heart is troubled. That's the kind of trouble we're talking about. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The disciples need this comfort at this time. How bad will it be for his disciples? In just a few days, Jesus will hang until he is dead. In our current epidemic, it seems it's when famous people began to be diagnosed. That's when it really caught our attention. First, it was an NBA basketball player. And then I recall it was Tom Hanks. And that's when, at least for me, that's when a lot of us begin to feel more vulnerable. Friday night, I saw it was Christopher Cross, the singer, and Pink, the singer, who were diagnosed, tested positive. Eventually, it may be somebody in our neighborhood. It may be somebody in our family. In the case of the disciples, Jesus diagnosed that it was him who was going to die. He was the one. That is what the disciples will face. Jesus will be crucified. But that's not even the worst of it, because Jesus told them, he said, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Judas did that. And then he goes on and he says, "Where I am going, you cannot follow." Peter insisted. Impetuous Peter popped up, as his personality is wont to do. He pops up and says, "Lord, I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." That's the worst. Jesus will die, and they will run in fright. And it's in that context that Jesus says to them, he looks his disciples in the eyes and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." How are the disciples to calm their hearts in this context? Jesus goes on and he presents a very high Christology. Faith in the Father is linked together with faith in Jesus. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus invariably speaks. When he speaks the words of God. When he performs acts, he performs the acts of God. Should he not thus be trusted like God? Jesus says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." What if the situation the apostles faced, the disciples faced, what if it included death? If they were going to die, then could they be worried? Then could they be troubled? Well, actually, Jesus goes on. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" Jesus is spelling out why they don't need to be troubled, even if they were to die. He is going away. He's going to prepare a place for them. He will return and take them to that place, and there they will be where Jesus is. What more could they ask for? What more could they ask for? Friends, today, what more could we ask for? Jesus is preparing a place for them, a place in heaven. When will that place be available to them? Friends, there is no need to fear even death itself. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. There is a place. It already exists. Jesus, there's a place. It already exists. And Jesus is going there. How is Jesus going to get there? He's on his way to heaven, but how will he get to that place? He will go by way of a cross. Good Friday, we will remember that. He will go by the way of a cross, and on Easter Sunday, he will rise again. And once he gets there via the cross, he is preparing a place. Jesus is paying. Think about this. Jesus is paying an incredibly high price to go there to prepare a place for us. What is he purchasing by shedding his blood? He is purchasing his disciples. He is purchasing his followers. It is inconceivable that his disciples would not want to follow. And Jesus promises them, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus doesn't tell us very much. We don't learn about the nature of the place. We don't learn much about heaven. But what do we know about heaven? What do we know about it? He tells us all that we need to know. It is sufficient to know this. We will be with the Father, and we will be together with Jesus forever. Verse 4, you know the way to the place where I am going. Do they really know? When we look at the next verse, do they really know? Read this next verse carefully. Did Jesus make some terrible error? Did he overestimate his disciples? He says that they know the way. But then look what Thomas says. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Thomas seems to not know. So what did Jesus mean when he said, you know the way? Look at verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. They do know the way. That is Jesus' point. If you know me, you know the way. Did the prophet Muhammad ever say, I am the way? Did the Buddha ever say, I am the way? Did Confucius ever say, I am the way? Did Karl Marx ever say, I am the way? What did they say? A reputable prophet says, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look there. Look to the truth. The truth is there. Jesus is unique. He's not merely a prophet. He doesn't say the truth is there, but he says, look at me. Jesus answered and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus adds this final assurance. If you know Jesus, you do know the Father. You do know the truth. Do you know Jesus today? If you do, you do know the Father. And you do know Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is pleading with the people to look at me. Is Jesus egotistical? Is Jesus self-centered? Why does Jesus focus on himself? Let me suggest that it is love. It is love that causes him to focus on himself. Think about this. If you love somebody, what do you point at? If you love your parents, if you love your children, if you love somebody in your family, if you love somebody, what do you point at? Where do you turn them? If you're a Christian, if you've been blessed through your life by Jesus Christ, you're, of course, naturally going to point them to Jesus. If you love somebody, you point to Jesus. One of my favorite songs many years ago is a song by Scott Wesley Brown, and it's called I Wish You Jesus. It is a blessing, and it is a blessing that is written to a friend. Listen to the words by Scott Wesley Brown, I Wish You Jesus. I could wish you joy and peace to last a whole life long. I could wish you sunshine or a cheerful little song, or wish you all the happiness that this life could bring. But I wish you Jesus. But I wish you Jesus. But I wish you Jesus more than anything. I could wish you leaves of gold, and may your path be smooth. I could wish you treasures, or that all your dreams come true, and I could wish you paradise. May every day be spring. But I wish you Jesus. But I wish you Jesus. But I wish you Jesus more than anything, because when I wish you Jesus, well, I've wished you everything. If you love somebody, you point them to Jesus. If Jesus loves somebody, what does he point to? He points to Jesus. He points to himself. Should Jesus point to Buddha? Should Jesus point to freedom and democracy? Should Jesus point to intersectional studies? That intersectional studies will bring equality to earth, will bring what people truly need. Should Jesus point to remedies for global warming? Should Jesus point to modern Western medicine? Should Jesus highlight the newest cancer treatments? Should Jesus reveal a treatment for the coronavirus? If Jesus loves somebody, what should he point to? He points to himself. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus loves us, and he wants everything for us. Remember Annalisa and our Brazilian neighbors in Hawkeye Court? Annalisa playing in the courtyard, running in a pattern, running in a square, and then this terrifying bolt of lightning, followed by a deep roar of extended thunder. Where did she go? Several of us were outside on Hawkeye Court, dotting the courtyard. Annalisa, she did not run to me. She broke her pattern, she shrieked, and she sprinted in a straight line. She ran directly to her parents. What if she ran to me or ran to another family? Wow. If I observed that, I would have to wonder, who are her parents? Something's not right. She was terrified, and she streaked in a straight line to her parents. Her parents were not afraid. They know thunder, and they know lightning. They know that these were not a threat to them. And they knew these were not a threat to Annalisa, and they told her, do not let your heart be troubled. Our problem today, this pandemic, the coronavirus, is it bigger than the bolt of lightning and the clapping of thunder? Not to God. It's not bigger to our Father in heaven. Jesus and our Father is in control. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am the way and the truth and the life. Let us remember the key to the house, to a better place, is to believe in Jesus. The way to get there is through the Son. Believe the Son. And when we have Jesus, we have everything. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be settled this morning. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be quieted by the promise that Jesus says, when you look at me, when you believe me, when you embrace me, you have everything. You have eternity together with the Father and eternity together with the Son. Lord, we pray for our service on Good Friday, where we will take communion together, where we will share as a church body in the blood and the bread, where we will share in the blood and the body of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would bless this church and bless that service. And then we look forward next week, Easter Sunday, where we will remember that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Lord, I pray that this week we would embrace you and continue to walk with you, the way, the truth, and the life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.